Welcome to the Isaka Podcast. Isaka is celebrating its 50th anniversary in 2019, and on today's 50th Anniversary Series podcast, we're going to explore the opportunities that Isaka has provided and continues to provide for young professionals looking to establish themselves in the technology workforce. One of those young professionals joins us today, Maze Baruka, Acting Manager with the IT Risk and Assurance Line for Deloitte Middle East. Welcome, Maze. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jay, for having me. I'm so glad Isaka is setting the light over those areas and to reach as many people out there in the globe as much as possible.
What do you consider to be some of the main benefits of focusing on professional development and connecting with professional associations early in your career?
Mm-hmm. So I'm part of Deloitte Middle East, based in Amman, Jordan, where I've been working here for the past 5 years or so. Before that, I had also a different experience with another Big Four company and another telecommunication company. Because when you start as a student, when you're like in a college or university or even in school, you're basically concentrated towards the book information or anything within the context of theory. Now, we all know that theory is not always the reality of anything else. Accordingly, networking and professional networking at the early stages of a student or young professional will help them towards, and helped me actually, towards learning and identifying new areas such as the IT audit and the IT risk. Also, to get more exposed into different ideas from different people. For example, when I started looking into which firms or which companies shall I start applying to at the near end of my university life, I reached out to a lot of professionals in that area, and I've learned about the IT risk and the importance of the IT risk and the IT audit in specific. So for the IT audit, when I started to tackle those professionals and to talk with them, I was guided and I was influenced by so many of them, which they're still today, I consider them as teachers for me, where I could reach out to them for any concern or any difficult situation, which is also an important benefit for professional networking, having those people you could shadow, those people you could learn from, that were actually in your shoes someday, and they will help you out in overcoming and getting into the market much quicker and giving you the lessons that they had to learn very hardly. So you can like skip those and learn it very quicker and move forward in the career.
How did you link up with Isaka, and what motivated you to get involved as a young professional?
I started by a very simple Google search, Jay. You know, like you start checking what are the standards, what are the organizations that issues those standards. I've heard from a lot of the people that I networked with about those amazing certificates that they have, like the CIDA, the CIRISC, and the CIGATE, and all of those certificates that Isaka offers. Well, that got me interested in Isaka itself. So at first, I started looking at their website, browsing it. Then when I realized the value of Isaka's certifications, I realized that being involved with Isaka means being involved in a very global professional network. Working with Isaka, I started as well as a volunteer there. I'm currently volunteering so many domains with Isaka, which I love doing, and being part of Isaka and reaching out to those individuals actually helped me in a certain or in a recent service that I've been providing for one of my clients, where I reached out to a lot of people through whether it was through the chat boxes that you guys offer or through the forums that you guys are offering. It was very good brainstorming sessions with a lot of global resources, and having that support for my Isaka itself, it made me feel more confident in the areas that I cover.
You mentioned Isaka's certifications as a draw. How would you characterize the value of those certifications, especially for a young professional that might otherwise have a challenge establishing credibility with more experienced colleagues and clients?
Okay, now certifications are like your badge. Honestly, people know you, know your background, but they want to see something that validates your experience, not just your talks or not just how you present yourself. They want to see a badge that confirms what you know, what you just said is actually the experience that you have. And throughout the years, Isaka has demonstrated that they are the people who could stamp the best badge there is. What does that mean? It means like for a young professional, for students, they start with looking at those certifications when they start searching about it. If they go and move forward with taking an examination without even taking the license, we're not talking about being certified fully with a license number now. The knowledge itself from which those certification will give you is outstanding, honestly. It gives you a practical experience on how things are outside a university or outside a college atmosphere. Let's take, for example, the CISA. Now, the CISA is a certificate that validates the IT auditor skills. Now, for young professionals or for students who doesn't have yet the number of years of experience in order to present for their license or to apply for their license, they shouldn't be discouraged towards not taking the examination and learning, because in each domain and in each area, they do or they will actually have rich knowledge from what they're going to learn from it. So when those young professionals or students start applying to firms, these ISACA certification pops into the HR portfolios very, very quickly. And I'm talking about my experience where, due to the fact that I had a lot of ISACA certificates, I was able to move to the biggest consultancy firms. I was able to move to the biggest markets there is in the Middle East. I was able to be part of interesting projects, major projects for huge clients. So certifications is kind of important. And I encourage every single young professional to at least take the first step and to just start reading about them, to just start getting introduced to what are the things that are needed to be done in order to achieve those certifications.
As you've mentioned, you've been a very active ISACA volunteer. What have been some of the more meaningful volunteer opportunities that you've had through ISACA so far?
Yes, the main ones that I really enjoyed, of course, I enjoy every single opportunity there is that I volunteered with ISACA. But the main ones I'm going to talk about is the newest opportunity that I got being part of is the regulatory data compliance. As we all know, the GDPR, it's out there in Europe and it's here in the Middle East and everywhere else. This shed the light of how good ISACA in being aligned with the new standards, the new regulatory requirements. And I always check ISACA's white papers in order to see what others have as part of their experience at their work environment. So accordingly, I've been part of a review for the recent regulatory data compliance, which I believe will be issued by the end of this month by ISACA. In that work group or in that volunteer opportunity, I've learned so much and it added so much to my experience towards what are the areas that we need to look at when we are doing a data regulatory compliance. What are the pitfalls, the things we need to be careful about? I also shared my own insights, which was more than welcomed from ISACA. And actually, I was contacted later on to also write a blog post about it. Another great opportunity is the She Leads Tech working group, which is something that I'm really passionate about, which is seeing female leaders being more involved in the IT audit and the IT technology areas and the IT risk. ISACA has been leading this area, and the She Leads Tech initiative is now part of the CACS conferences and any other conference that is being prepared and organized by ISACA themselves. So being part of that initiative also allowed me to reach out to all of those young female leaders who are trying to understand the market and trying to move forward in, within the organization or firm. And we've also worked in that working group towards having topics that is of interest, topics or challenges that are facing women in the tech industry or in the risk or IT risk industry, and how it should be handled, or any ideas that should be handled and shared through ISACA to reduce those challenges.
Going back to the importance of networking for young professionals, what types of tips or guidance might you share with young professionals when it comes to effective professional networking?
Advice them is always to start early. The earlier you start, the better. Let's wait till we have the last year of university, or just to finish university, get the certificate and get into the working market. They need to start at first, like in the last 2 years or the last year, they need to start looking towards the professionals or looking towards the industries that they feel a bit passionate about, who they should reach out for, and how they should be getting involved in those networks. The second important thing that I would like to share is that nowadays, all those kids are spending time on social media. So why not use that for the benefit of professional networking? We have LinkedIn. It's an amazing platform where you could discuss and reach out to so many people within the risk, within the IT, or any other industry that they would like to be part of. And people are responsive because LinkedIn has provided that ability. I've been reached out by so many people who were asking me on certifications, what they should actually take, what they should actually avoid, what they need to do in order to get into a certain group or a certain network and all of that. The next point that I would like to remind everyone about is that they need to remain an active member. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you just start a conversation or start networking and then stop. You need to remain in touch with the people or the network or the group that you started off in the beginning. They need to remain in touch with them. They need to remain close to them, not so close, so that they could actually become into more of friends rather than just to remain professionally close. And to be part of that, you need to be in a continuous cycle throughout all the phases of your career. That means not just because that you're no longer a new joiner, or not that you're still in a basic level, now you're more into intermediate level, or now that you're more experienced, you just drift apart from the networking group that you built. Why is that? Because there has been a study before by the Grazia School of Business Management that they actually stated that the C-suite members of organization, they consume the majority of their time being part of a professional network. Because professional networking is really, really important for the growth of a firm or growth of an organization and for growth of individuals there. Because if young professionals would like to remain within the organization that they're in or to progress within the same organization, they need to maintain their contacts and they need to maintain their networking within the same group that they started with. Finally, for me, as you know, I'm a lady at the end of the day, professional women networking is something really important. And usually ladies or women in general, they get a bit shy when it comes to tackling a network that is completely dominated by males. Nowadays, this percentage or this idea is getting reduced. Women out there are being more involved. They are actually helping each other. For example, myself, I always like to remain professionally network with other professional ladies from the other firms or from the other organization. And I will always like to give them advice and to try to be there once they reach out to myself.
Wrapping up, what are some other ways you'd like to get involved with ISACA during this 50th anniversary year and beyond?
One of the ways that myself would like to be more part of, and I recommend everyone else to be more part of, is to remain or to be active when it comes to conferences. I know that ISACA chapters are expanding and they are basically in every country and in every area that's possible now. Those chapters are there so that people could actually network, people could actually get introduced to each other. So get used and get into those chapters and start working, start building your professional network through those chapters at first. And then the young professionals and the students could start going to conferences issued by ISACA or just maybe attend the webinar or go to the forum of ISACA and reach out to the expertise there.
All right, Maze, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your experiences as a young professional with ISACA.
Thank you, Jay, for having me part of this podcast.
That's our program for today. Thank you for listening. For more on ISACA's 50th anniversary, visit ISACA50.org.